Welcome back to Durango Digs. Again, you're tuned in to AM 1240, KDGO and 98.3 FM. Jack Llewellyn from the Chamber. And a reminder, you can get your Durango Rocks tickets at durangobusiness.org. Participate in the Spring Rewards Program. Go to downtowndurango.org. Tiffany Lee, La Plata County Clerk and Recorder. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, you know. Yeah, it's hanging in there, man. It's, you know, a little,
nice.
We're recording this on Wednesday, a little breezy out.
A little?
It's
Did
been,
you see my hair?
It's like, you have hair. You know, just, you know, I don't. So my hair always looks, you know, bald. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming in. I know you drove up to Denver over the weekend. The Colorado County Clerks Association, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. You had a press conference and to talk about the conspiracy theories that people are trying to stir up and say, you know, voter fraud, the election was rigged, all these different things. And basically, from what I watched and listened to, you're like, show us the evidence. Give us the proof or show us what you're talking about so we can investigate it, treat it. Professionally, and have you seen any of this? Kind of give me a little, well, let me back up. Give me a background of all of this, because this is just crazy.
It is crazy, and this has been going on for 2 years, you know, since the 2020 election. And we did hold a press conference on Sunday, so that was myself as the independent La Plata County Clerk, Molly Fitzpatrick, she is a Democrat County Clerk, and Carly Coppas, and she's the Weld County Clerk, and she's Republican. So the three of us, along with our association, decided this is enough. We are a, you know, we work in a bipartisan manner, and we wanted the voters and these conspiracy theorists to know, bring us the evidence. Mm-hmm. Quit doing these rallies and protests, sending, you know, things on social media, telling people we're, you know, corrupt, the election's rigged, all of that, without providing any actual evidence to support that.
Because if there's evidence, you obviously, as a county clerk, you've been in this business 25 years?
26 years this
26
month.
26 years.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. And when I hear that, I'm just going, and I had the privilege of going behind the scenes during the school board election and watched what you and your team do during election. I was so impressed, I mean, quite honestly. And then be able to sit there and go, I had no idea all of this goes on. So if they can't produce the evidence, then shut up, right?
I mean, right. You know, there's four reports out there now that they've generated that are conclusions, their conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, they and an example is they went and canvassed door to door in particular counties asking voters, did you vote in the 2020 election? How did you vote? Who's all the voters in your household? And they got them to sign affidavits. And we've yet to see any of those, yet they have, you know, they say there's hundreds and hundreds of them, and they don't match the voter rolls, but yet they're not willing to produce them to us. So how are we supposed to correct anything if we don't know there's what's wrong? And let me give you a really good example of what works. So in El Paso County, there was allegations that there was, I don't know the exact number, over 600 voters that were deceased that people believed voted. So Clerk Borerman took that report, and he had his staff and himself went through every single voter record and determined that there was actually only one that matched.
Wow.
And that one, they had already, already flagged, under investigation. The ballot had been mailed back as voted. However, they caught that. They knew right away there was an issue. That ballot never even got opened to be cast. It went right into investigation. So our processes work. And that's what we need. We need that data to say, okay, what's up with this particular voter record? The list that these folks generated, it was, you have to have matching criteria. So, you know, I know your name is Jack Llewellyn, right? But maybe your legal name is something different.
It's
right?
John.
It's John. And I know that. So, you know, do they make sure that they're matching apples to apples? No, they're not. We have the full date of birth. We have a portion of the Social Security number, we have their address, we have their signature, we have their full names, that type of thing. The lists that they generated were very inaccurate.
And I guess, you know, again, if you're going to accuse somebody of something, if I remember right, you have the right to meet your accuser. You have the right, you know, to see the evidence. And if they're not producing the evidence, it's kind of hard. It's just, it's like rumor, right?
Right.
And defamation of character, whatever you want to call it. Because to me, I'm thinking of an example where if someone moves away, okay, they move up to Denver area, but their parents' address is down in La Plata County, and they get that ballot here. When do they need to update one, like their vehicle registration, which you're in charge of, their voter registration? Is there like a law that says within 30 days, 90 days, 60 days? What is it?
There is, but it's all dependent upon where they're claiming their residency. So you might have your child moves up to Boulder to go to college, right? Well, where's their residency? Is it still La Plata County, or are they wanting to establish residency in Boulder? Ultimately, it's the voter's responsibility to be registered in the appropriate place, and it's completely on the voter. We do everything we can to review the voter registration database. So we get an example is we get national change of address, meaning when you go to the post office and you update your address with them, you want a forwarding put in, right? We get that data as well. So we can actually go in and update your voter registration record. Or if we've determined that you've moved out of our community or to out of state, we can inactivate you off of that information, meaning we're going to put you into a different pool, and we're not going to automatically generate you a mail ballot. So that's another great piece of the national change of address and mail ballot is mail ballots aren't forwarded either.
Yeah.
So if you've put that forwarding in there, it's not going to get forwarded. It's going to come back to us. I do hear from parents what, you know, their kids move away and they're still getting ballots. And if they don't let us know, they can't just call us and say, okay, my kid doesn't live here anymore.
Sure.
But they can put on that mail ballot. They can say no longer lives at this address and kick it back to us. There's also an online where somebody can withdraw their voter registration.
And what where do you go to do that or to update your voter address?
Go vote. Colorado.gov.
GoVoteColorado.gov.
That is the site you want to go to update your, you can register, first time registrations, update your registration, change your party, withdrawal. And also we are in Colorado on a statewide voter registration system, right? So if that student or that person moves to Denver and they re-register in Denver, that record will get pulled. So your La Plata County record will get pulled into Denver County. So we can do that at the state level.
And if something like the change of address, does the individual get a notification from your office saying, hey, we understand, have you moved? If you have, have you updated your information?
Yes.
Okay.
So when we get the national change of address or anytime you do any kind of update or register for the first time, we send you out a notice. And if we've found out that you have moved out of state, we send you actually a forwarded piece of mail to get to you, and you can withdraw at that time, or you can say, you know what, I'm a part-time resident. So I think I told you before, like my dad, he lived in Havasu for 6 months and here for 6 months. However, this was his residency. So he would want to keep his voter registration here, his driver's license, his vehicle registrations, his income taxes. You know, as long as they're claiming one place as their residency, and we have many of our voters in this community that have multiple homes across the United States, right? It's all dependent upon where they want to claim their residency is where they should be voting.
And I would think that claim their residency kind of would tie back into your income tax return, right? I mean, if you're filing and you're putting some stuff down, what state you're in or what town, right? I mean, it also comes to me, it comes back to personal responsibility, you know, and we get busy. Things happen, right? You get divorced, whatever it might be, and you might forget something. To update
of course
whatever.
You will.
Life happens.
Yep.
But I think that it's, you know, you got to, you know, point one finger, three are pointing back at you. And it's time to take some personal responsibility.
Of course it is. And you're signing an affidavit. When you register to vote, and there's also on that registration form a place that says my previous registration. So if you were registered in another state, then you place that on that form, and then we notify that other state that you've now been are registered here in Colorado. So the Secretary of States across the United States work together to, and that's where that information goes to, and then they distribute it back to, you know, whatever state it is. One other thing that is interesting, when people say, oh, I received two ballots, I need more information. So there's many times, like, right, this is a great example, in May, upcoming in May is special district elections.
Sure.
So you might reside in multiple districts. You might be in a fire district, a water district, a mosquito district, who knows? And they might have their own individual election going on. So you'll see a disclaimer on the back of your mail ballot envelope that will say you may receive more than one ballot for this particular election. Oh. You need to open up that content and see what's inside of there. Also, you might have changed your address. Say you just added a PO box, and we've already created our data file and sent out a ballot. Well, I'm required to, up until 8 days prior to the election, if I receive any change on your record, I'm required to send you out an additional ballot. Oh. It voids that first ballot, so you can't cast both.
Okay.
But that second ballot will go out to you. So when people say, I received two ballots for this particular election, call me. Call my office. Let's identify what those ballots are, because you're not going to receive two that are identical. There's not that can't happen. It's one ballot to one voter. So I just need to know, you know, what the scenario is, and usually we can figure it out.
Right.
And, you know, like in the 2020 election example, is we had the March presidential primary.
Mm-hmm.
We had the May LPEA, and we had the June primary. Those are very, very close. Right, people thought we were sending them multiple ballots, but if they actually opened them, they could see they're different.
And I would assume too, if they, you know, your system is going to flag it if they sent and they got two ballots for something. But you, like you said, you don't send two ballots for the same thing.
Correct. There's a reason, and one will be voided. So if they do mail back both, yeah, not a good scenario. first ballot back received is counted, but then I would, you know, pursue it with the DA, the district attorney. We look at every one of those cases. Same thing as if somebody casts a mail ballot and then they try to go in person and vote at one of our voter service and polling centers, and we've already received their mail ballot back, we're going to say, okay, hold on, you've already voted. And we can pull up that image and that envelope. To show the signature, because of signature verification, we know that it was you. So you can't just go in person and cast a ballot. Same thing with the opposite way. If you come in person and vote, you can't cast your mail ballot. We're going to know that. And we're going to know that across the state of Colorado.
Yeah. And I think that's important too. All the system of checks and balances. And again, and you've, you know, graciously said to people, look, come see what we do. Behind the scene, but even better yet, on an election, which I think you're crazy to offer that because you're running around going nutso, but because I observe that when, you know, you're watching everything, but you will take the time and say, come see what we do.
Yes.
Come watch our process if you're a naysayer, and then become be an election judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do tours. You know, you really need to see it live. So you can see your fellow neighbors and friends, the election judges, because this is the people's elections, right? Mm-hmm. In Colorado, we have bipartisan teams of election judges working and doing all the processes. We're there as leaders just to oversee it. And I encourage people, if you want a tour, you need to make an appointment with me. I can't just have people showing up. But there are times prior to the election, not just election day, that we can, you know, work with them, take them on tours, explain the process. I do from Boy Scout Club groups. I've done church groups. I've done all different, you know, just friends that get together for coffee, you know, and they are like, hey, we're interested. This topic keeps coming up. Give me a call and let's get that scheduled. The June primary is a really good one to see because it's not quite as busy, but I would also encourage in November, come and actually see it. And if you want to be an election judge, this is the part that gets a little challenging, is we only need, like, for the primary, maybe 70 people countywide to work. And right now I have way more than that wanting to work. So I will try to do some shifts so people can get involved. But you can also reach out to your local parties and become a watcher. Watchers, you know, I encourage it because they get to see what we're doing. They understand the transparency and they can ask questions and they can go out and say, guess what? that is not correct. This is right. correct. I got to see it. And I love that when people get involved like that.
Well, and I think it's a good point to point out that rumors are vicious, right? Mm-hmm. And getting down, we all live in the world of social media. We all live in the world of sound bites, and we don't take the time to really dive in deeper to figure out what's going on. Can you stick around? We got to take a break.
I can.
All right. We'll be back with Tiffany Lee, La Plata County Clerk and Recorder, in a few minutes. You're listening to Durango Digs on AM 1240 KDJO and 98.3 FM. Stay tuned.